Good morning. I would like to thank the outgoing members of Moscow City Council, Peg Hamlet, John Kimberling, and Joanne Mack, for their good service. The outgoing mayor, Marshall Comstock, is to be commended for his many contributions to the city, especially his work with the arts. I'm not happy, however, about the way he has treated the city's police officers and their attempts to form a union. In rejecting the officers' request, Comstock implied that unions are some mysterious external force invading the workplace. They are, of course, just like any other human institution, made up of hard-working men and women in all areas of employment, including medicine, sports, music, and all levels of teaching. Medieval worker guilds gave us the self-governing principles on which the labor movement is founded. Employees elect their unions according to carefully monitored procedures, and they can decertify unions that fail to represent them properly. This process is being carried out right across the border by some of WSU's staff employees. Comstock can't understand why his police officers want to waste their money on union dues when they're complaining that they don't make enough as it is. If the U of I had gone to a salary scale based on the federal GS system, as my faculty union proposed in 1976, U of I professors would now be at the top of their peers rather than at the bottom. UI administrators whose salaries have outstripped full professors by 74% since 1982 have always said that peer dominance was their goal, but they failed miserably in that task. If we'd negotiated a contract with the federal GS scale, and if we'd receive raises equivalent to federal workers, today I would make $50,000 more annually, out of which I could have easily covered my union dues, paid much more in taxes, gone to many more professional meetings, given much more to charity, and returned much, much more to the local economy. Labor history is not taught very well in our schools, and management has well-honed anti-union disinformation programs. So Americans need to be reminded that unions brought them the 8-hour workday, safe working conditions, paid vacations, health benefits, generous pensions, and progressive socioeconomic legislation. Millions of non-union workers have been free riders as they've enjoyed these benefits for decades. Just as an example, unions led the successful passage of the Family and Medical Leave Act, which has allowed 50 million Americans secure leave without pay to care for their newborns or seriously ill family members. For decades, most European countries, where the labor movement is much stronger, have provided up to 3 months paid leave for these same purposes. Almost on every socioeconomic statistic, countries built by labor or social democratic parties do much better than the United States. It is often said that unions are not needed in companies and institutions that are well run and treat their employees fairly. But this is as absurd as saying that democracy is needed only when tyrants arise. George W. Bush hates tyrants, and we all know that he's a political genius. So why don't we save ourselves a lot of trouble and money and let him stay in office, along with his Republican majority? Only employees know what their needs are, and it is presumptuous for any manager to preempt their right to self-governance. Mayor Comstock believes that, quote, a union will not benefit his officers, but they've already decided otherwise. Those below the rank of sergeant have voted unanimously to be represented by the Service Employees International Union, the nation's most successful and fastest-growing union. I challenge Nancy Cheney and the new city council to embrace democracy in the workplace and recognize the officers' vote for union representation. This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, wishing you a good day.